Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're going to try to stay positive today. We've been doing a lot of crab cakes. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We're going to be at State Fair in Catonsville next week, back to Costas, going back to some of our homestead locations. Had an incredible week with the mayor at Next Phase Cafe. I hope you go listen to those chats. Also at Solancha last week on the backside with the newest journalism. And there was a lot of journalism involved on Wednesday, which, I guess June 22nd, 2022 will go down in the history. I don't know that the Ravens, I hope they never have a current member and a past legend leave us on the same news cycle on the same day. Luke Jones is here. He was sending out WNST texts that you get when you're on the Coons Ford Baltimore text service. Certainly the first one was shocking enough with Jalen Ferguson early in the morning, Luke. And then as the afternoon went on, you and I spent a little time together because the rumors were floating about Tony Siragusa. The first thing I do as a journalist when this sort of thing happens is pick up my phone and call Tony Siragusa, right? So Goose answers texts, but not quickly, usually. You know, like he's not the instant guy. I thought, well, it's June. He's probably fishing. You know what I mean? That's what he does. And I thought, well, when he gets back off the water, he'll call me or text me because there's no way this could be true. Within the hour, we quickly learned that, that it was true. Luke, come on in here, man. I've been running a lot of Goose tape. It's weird, man, cause I was looking at his picture all night, Monday and Tuesday night. You know, I'm getting Purple Rain 1 and Purple Rain 2 prepped, adding pictures, not adding any text. The books are identical. I haven't changed the word. I did change Kevin Burns spelling cause we got it wrong once, but, other than that, I haven't changed the word, and we've been running Goose here. So the best I can do, and I can sit here and honor him, is to play upwards of a dozen hours of tape I have of Goose and I over 25 years at various points, good times and bad times. And so people will hear that. But I want to hear the Jalen Ferguson thing is the here and now for the football team. But I don't even know. We can only go one direction at a time, right?
Right. And I mean, that direction is very difficult when you're talking about two individuals taking, you know, far too young. I mean, Tony Siragusa, age 55. It's crazy. I went back and watched an interview he did with Howard Stern about a decade ago. And he talked about the fact that his father had passed away when I think his father was 48, somewhere in that territory, late 40s, early 50s. And he talked about it, and he talked about it in a very Tony Siragusa way. You know, wasn't brash or cavalier about it, but was very matter of fact about it. And, you know, to just hear how that impacted him and to just think how that impacts his family in a situation like that, that's difficult enough with children who are older, but still very young, you know, relatively speaking.
Well, I met his kids 4 weeks ago for the very first time as adults.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember them as little kids. I remember his daughter and his buddy, Jay. We were in the green room at the ESPN thing. He's like, "Hey, that's Tony's boy. That's Tony's girl." I'm like, "Get him over here. I want to meet him." And I'm going to struggle to make it through this segment.
Well, I mean, and you have that, and then you think of Jalen Ferguson, 26 years old, and three very young children. And it's, you know, we talk about these guys in the football context 98% of the time. And, you know, we mix in a little bit of personality. Guy does some charity work, things of that nature. But we really don't get to know these guys in most cases beyond what we see on the field or what we see at the podium, or if we have a chance to sit down with them for 20 minutes at Radio Row, Super Bowl, or things of that nature. So to just think about it in these terms and a loss of life in two different cases. One, someone who's beloved by the city of Baltimore, someone who, let's face it, at a time when a franchise was very young, very, you know, not at all established yet, he's someone who wasn't incredibly well known with the Indianapolis Colts, but was known a little bit. You know, the Colts had had their Jim Harbaugh 1995 run to the AFC Championship, but you know, Tony Siragusa comes in and brings a little more credibility to the defense and brings a lot of personality. And we use the term larger than life way too much when we talk about people. I think that's something that's overused. It was absolutely apropos for him when you consider his size, first of all, and then his personality. I mean, you talk about someone larger than life. On the flip side, Jalen
Ferguson.
There were
10 guys on the stage at ESPN, right? 10 guys. He's not a Hall of Famer. Ogden wasn't there. He's not a Hall of Famer. He owned the stage.
Yeah.
He owned the stage with Marvin Lewis, Brian Billick, Jack Del Rio, Ray Lewis, Jamal Lewis, Trent Dilfer. They're all on stage. Goose was as Brad Jackson said in the aftermath, and I haven't talked to Brad in a while, and this is probably going to spur me to find some old friends and talk to them about Goose, but he said he was a leader. He was our leader. And man, I had to really think about that and think about being in those locker rooms in 1997 and 90 at Memorial Stadium, 98 when they were losing with Ted, 99 when Brian got here and what Brian found and how Marvin, and I literally released this chapter on Wednesday night of Purple Rain 1, which is Canton comes to Baltimore. This was when Goose came first, but then Woodson, and after that Sharp came, and then it changed everything. And for that era, he was the first guy in, and also the leader, the captain. You know what I mean? The guy that made that he always had your back. And hearing Billick say the quote that I thought. The first thing I thought is, I wonder what Brian's going to say. I text Brian. I had text Marvin. And Brian's quote on the press release was, "We wouldn't have won the Super Bowl without Tony Siragusa." I swear to God, that's what I thought. My exact thoughts were, they wouldn't have won the Super Bowl without him. Not just the Gannon play, but just everything about him being, or his presence, he and Rob Burnett were like brothers. And I wrote about that in Purple Rain 1. And I had almost forgotten that because it's been 21 years. Although they were together. The last time I saw Rob Burnett, Goose was with him at the Canton induction for Ray Lewis. Right. And Rob wasn't doing well at that point. I text Rob. Rob texts me back immediately on Wednesday night and said that he's devastated, obviously sick. But the relationships that Goose had, and with Burnett and Goose kind of holding it together with Sam Adams, and that sort of oversight of a Rod Woodson, it's the greatest defense in the history of the game. We haven't mentioned that yet. It's the greatest defense in the history of the game, and Goose was a part of that.
Well, and he was a big part of that. And I think you just mentioning that, it really hits home with something that I thought of as we, kind of processing this on Wednesday. But we always, and I think about this differently than you do. You were around the team. I was in high school. I was a senior in high school for the 2000 Ravens. So it was very much solely from the fan perspective. But you saw the mix of veterans and young players on that defense. But Tony Siragusa, because of his personality, that really came to light on a wide scale basis for Hard Knocks, that following summer on HBO. And I think that very much catapulted him into a career with media, he guest starred on The Sopranos, all of that. But you see those comparisons that previous generations made with Art Donovan, right? I mean, Tony Siragusa was a more modernized version of Art Donovan for the early 21st century, late 20th century. But in the same way that you could say the same thing for the late Art Donovan, don't let the personality mask or overshadow the fact that he's a hell of a football player. And you talk about this guy, 6'3", 340 pounds listed at that Tony Siragusa. But what he meant for the middle of that defense, he and Sam Adams, I mean, we're talking about Ray Lewis as one of the all-time great defensive players in the history of the league. And that's true. And that's completely deserved, that label. But Ray would be the first to tell you how important Siragusa and Sam Adams were in that era of keeping blockers off him and allowing him to roam. And the fact that I can recall that Ravens defense of that era, you wanted the opponent to be in third and one because they try to run the football and you knew that they'd stuff them at the line of scrimmage rather than trying to pass.
Well, the night of the Monday night game in Tennessee where Goose yelled hike before the ball snap to get McNair off the field to win a very, very, the Ravens were going to lose that game right now. Yeah. It didn't matter in the grand scheme of things. It was after the Super Bowl, probably would have mattered the playoff seeding, but that was a monumental win. And that happened after the Super Bowl. So, Goose was here 97, 98, 99, struggling, wins the Super Bowl 2001. And I don't remember everyone's retirement. You know what I mean? But I can give you this off the top of my head. The Ravens lost that game with Elvis Gerback, and I was in the locker room in Pittsburgh, and I knew Goose was retiring, and I saw him at the lot. I was there at the last breath of his career, right? I was there, and I knew he was retiring, and I knew how devastating it was because they didn't have to lose that game. They didn't have to lose at all. I mean, Elvis Gerback was good enough that they could have won two or three more football games that year. He's pissed upon 20 years later and blah, blah, blah. But they were in the playoffs. They did have a chance to win. That was the end for Goose. And, you know, for Ed Reed to go off and run around in a Jets jersey or, you know, whatever, Ray didn't do that. But Goose ended as a Raven, and it was over for him, and he knew it was over for him, and he had his Sopranos and his acting career kind of, you know, all, and his Fox TV career all set up. And you know what's amazing is that, like, how well I knew him, and from the beginning, I mean, I had the Nasty Van out of practice the first day I met him, and he's like, hey, I need a ride down to the Clark. You take me down to Registerstown Road. I need my car's down there. I got to take it's down there. So I took him down to the shop. He got into the van. Dude, the van went like sideways. Here I am driving a stick shift 1976 Ford Econoline van down Registerstown Road with the Goose in the car. You know, Goose had one night I was doing my show at the barn. And Jim Harbaugh was my guest, and Stephon Moore was my guest, and Goose showed up, and Goose was having the limo meet him, McCrary, Harbaugh, Wendy Herr, who represents John Ogden and has for 20 years. Mm-hmm. Hootie and the Blowfish were playing at the Bayou in D.C. Now, Hootie and the Blowfish are playing Sheds, Meriwether, Hold My Hand. They're the biggest Fairweather Johnson's out at that point. They're one of the bigger bands in the world, if not the country. And they played a one-off show at the Bayou. And I knew the guitar player, right? I knew the band, so I was going. And Goose knew them. He knew Darius from Indianapolis and Dan Marino and, like, all this stuff. So they were going. And Goose was like, yeah, they're not driving. They get in the car. Get in the limo. We'll drive you from here. So I literally just plopped into the limo with them. And we had this crazy, crazy night. Jim Harbaugh, whenever we get together, he still remembers it. When you spent time with Goose, you remembered it. You know, like the last time I was with Goose, I saw him a month ago, but a year and a half, or was it 2 years? It was before the plague. So it was 19 when they put Billick in the Ring of Honor. All the players came in. And on a Saturday night, me, Goose, Kim Herring, Brad Jackson, Lionel Dalton, Mike Flynn, we all sat at Roost Chris and had this incredible, and I know I have pictures somewhere because with Goose, I took pictures later in life and I didn't put up I was with Goose. I just took pictures. So I got to go find sort of the kayfabe stuff. And I'm trying to find, I mean, I found a picture of me and him and Dan Marino blasted in San Diego at 2 o'clock in the morning in the gas lamp district in 1998. It's before he won the Super Bowl. He's like, hey, Marino's got a party at this. We're going to Marino. Let's go. And then next thing I know, I'm with Goose. Goose threw a party at the 04 Super Bowl in Houston. He rented this giant, right where you and I stayed 15 years later, right on the subway. There was a bank that he turned into a club on Friday and Saturday night. He left me VIP, stood me out outside for a half an hour. I'm still pissed at him 20 years later. But man, Goose threw parties. Goose was at Super Bowls. Goose was in Baltimore. Goose came on my show at one point at the Super Bowl in Jacksonville. He's pimping ribs, and he sat down and did a half an hour. But I have more conversations with him where he's himself. You know, he was always Goose, and that's why I'm playing him. I hope they make people smile. I hope they make people cry. I don't, you know, it upset me in the beginning. And I guess we're all trying to come to terms with the fact that we're not going to spend time with him again. And that's kind of difficult. He was a guy that when I saw him, he saw me, there was an instant light and connection and fun. And yeah, I'm going to miss Goose a lot.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question about that. And I mean, he's not someone that I had the opportunity to really get to know. I think I met him once or twice, you know, long after his career, of course, me being in media, you know, all these years later. But
are you with this guy?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Something along those lines. But, you know, but so much of what you mentioned, and we know the stories, and he famously, what, got $1,000 bonus from Indianapolis and famously drank it all at the bar, you know, I mean, just... So much about him, but you think about it. He went to school at Pittsburgh. You know, he went to Pitt. You know, he played in Indianapolis, and then he becomes this, you know, at least on a local level, and certainly got more fame with Hard Knocks and, of course, doing the games for Fox and being on The Sopranos. But, you know, this guy who played for the Colts, who, you know, especially remember the mid to late 90s. I mean, the Colts had much different connotation than even today, talking about Indianapolis. And he played at Pitt. And of course, the Steelers become the Ravens' biggest rival. For him to have those roots and to become as beloved as he was here in Baltimore, I mean, a little storybook there, right? I mean,
he was the most beloved guy on the stage for the 900 people that went to Hard Knocks last month. And it wasn't even close. No offense to Ray, no offense to Shannon, to any of those guys. When Goose spoke, the place lit up. He was the straw that stirred the drink. He was the leader on the stage. It was very obvious.
Well, it's what you just said. Ray Lewis has the persona, right? Ray Lewis has, you know, doing the squirrel, and we've seen the NFL film speeches, and we still see that, you know, today with Ray all these years later. Shannon Sharp, my goodness. I mean, he's one of the talking heads on a morning show where they scream back and forth at each other, him and Skip Bayless. But Tony Siragusa.
I never thought he'd be on a show and half of it would make sense and it'd be his half.
right. But Tony Siragusa.
I saw that too when I see him.
Right. But you just said it. I mean, Tony Siragusa, what you saw was what you get. And I thought one of the more interesting, you know, reactions from his former teammates, Brandon Stokley actually tweeted about this and talked about his rookie year during training camp. He hated Goose because Goose very much had the old school earn your keep. I'm not going to be nice to any rookies whatsoever. However, Stokley said when he made the roster in 99, it's like a light switch came, you know, was flipped, and suddenly Tony Siragusa was the best teammate you could ever have. And he said at the time he hated him and didn't understand why he was the way he was. And look, we can debate, you know, the whole idea of how you treat rookies and hazing and all those different things, and not to go too far off track, but the fact that it was very much considered a case of, you know, Goose was someone was going to be protective of what it meant to be an NFL player and what it meant to be a member of the 53-man roster and what it meant to be a Baltimore Raven at that point in time, even before they had won a Super Bowl. You know, there was that mindset and those expectations that guys like him and Shannon Sharp coming in 2000, Rod Woodson, go down the list of those veterans. But once you made it, once you were deemed, quote, worthy, Stokley said that Goose was as good of a teammate as he's ever had. So I thought that was interesting as well. And we saw some of that in Hard Knocks, how he talked about the rookies and everything. And again, that's an old school thing. And some people would disagree with elements of that, and that's fine. But you know, I thought it's been interesting, you know, ranging from what you said with what Brian Billick said, as far as how important Goose was to that Super Bowl team. You know, teammates talking about how good of a teammate he was. And I think something that has also been mentioned that didn't get as much attention, that he quietly did a lot from a charity standpoint, even stuff that never got out, doing nice things for people. And I think there was a story about, you know, it was a much lesser known Ravens player, had a fire at his apartment or something along those lines. And Goose sent him $10,000 worth of clothes and supplies.
Fernando Smith had the turkey fire out on the deck. Yeah.
So, you know, things of that nature, which, okay, it came out at some point in time, but wasn't something that he went over the top, you know, went out of his way to advertise and broadcast what he was doing. So, you know, so much of Goose was,
I would say he got the 10 grand from the Super Bowl tickets he scalped too. So I would throw that in there.
Yeah.
Goose would appreciate that. Goose had a business. People forget stuff. Bruce Stover, who sold for me in 1997, and Bruce is still a Facebook friend, and he put up that he remembered me and Goose and him at Mama Lucia's in Parkville with Fausto Iliano negotiating to try to get money for a sponsorship. And of course, Goose went to the barn and CBM, and because he was too rich for my blood. But he wanted one of those John Deere track. It wasn't John Deere. It was a Caterpillar. I don't know. It was some farm thing that he wanted in trade. And we tried to go out and horse trade for Goose. So I did business with Goose. Goose was a businessman. I mean, behind everything else, he created commerce and he understood charity and he understood community. He understood brand. He understood brand. Like, if you see any of his autographs, like at the Costas or my autograph that he signed for me on the Sporting News cover and the Sports Illustrated cover, he always wrote "Think Big." And that wasn't like "be fat." That was "think big." Like, he was always talking business with me. "Hey, Nasty, you got some new sponsors going on. What do you got? You got Budweiser? You get me some free beer?" You know, he was always talking about sponsorships and money when he was a player. So he had a different mind than a lot of players too. I mean, I can say in 30 years, I didn't have a lot of guys speak to me in those terms.
Well, he's from Jersey. You know, you have the whole Sopranos thing. You know, tell me Tony Siragusa didn't know a few guys who could get things done, right?
Yeah, the mafia thing, right? Bobcat is what he wanted. That's what. Not
there. You go.
He wanted a bobcat.
There you go. So, but yeah, and I mean, it's just part of the mystique, right? I mean, but so much of it, as you mentioned, genuine. And you know, for someone like me who just again enjoyed his a career from afar, just watching as a fan. I mean, there was just something very relatable about him. And it's interesting because we always talk about this, and things in 2022 are not what they were back in 2000. And even in 2000, we talked about, hey, it's not the same as, you know, meeting up with Colts at the old Baltimore Colts at the local establishment, 40 years earlier and things of that nature. But Tony had a way that was very relatable, right? You had a way of, whether you had met him at the barn or met him at some autograph signing, whatever, met him outside the stadium, met him at training camp. You know, he just had a way to him that you felt like you knew him. You know, if you had met him, you felt like you knew him.
Here's a Goose story, because I haven't told any of these. So we beat the Washington Redskins in 1997. Do you remember this? We beat them in 1997 in their parking lot, in their new stadium. It was brand new. They got their stadium before we did. And we went down there, beat them. He came to me in the locker room, and he knew I had had a bus trip. He knew I had people down there, the whole deal. He said, "I got a limo. Get in the limo." He told this story in the air, because I didn't edit anything I put on the radio. This was one piece that I had to find. This was the piece in Jacksonville at the Super Bowl where we're eating ribs. My wife jumped into the conversation. We were newlyweds. We'd been married a year. He didn't know my wife. And he was like, "My wife is beautiful." He was all about my wife in the conversation, kidding around, you know, the whole total Goose stuff, right? But we told the story about them beating the Redskins. He's underneath the locker room. I'll never forget, his brand new FedEx Field. We thought maybe one day they'd have a World Cup. And he said to me, "Hey, I got a limo, man. Where's your people? Where are your people?" I said, "Well, my van's over here. Come on, we'll go in my limo. We'll go around." We get in his limo. He had a limo driver, because he was trying to get from D.C. back home. He didn't want to take the team bus, right? So he's got a driver. We go around the other side of the park. "Where's your van?" Oh, he went over to the van. There were 300 Raven fans in the rain, because it rained all day that day. It rained all day. I was with Kevin Eck that day. All my pictures have Kevin in it. And T-Bone Tom, Marty Bass is in these pictures. At the end, Goose came to the van and drank beer and stood on the top of the van. We have pictures of him holding beer on my van in front of, it wasn't called FedEx Field then. It was like Rao John. It was like the Washington Redskins Stadium.
Oh, it was originally Jack Kent Cook Stadium, wasn't it?
Stadium.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what it was originally called, right?
Well, it didn't have any of the orange and the green and all that nonsense you see when you go down there and see, I don't know, U2 or whatever reason, Coldplay, whatever you'd be there for. So we have these pictures of Goose drinking beer on our van. Like, it was Art Donovan shit, man. Like, nobody did that stuff in 1997. We were 4-12. We had Barney uniforms. We had serifs on our jerseys. You know, like all of that going on. But I have these pictures of Goose pounding beers in the Nasty van, standing on the van, celebrating like we had won the Super Bowl, beating the Washington Redskins one time. We were 1-0 against the Washington Redskins. And that meant something. And he knew that meant something. He knew it meant something to me. He knew it meant something to my audience. And he was building his brand, the Goose. So all these stories, I'm sure, are in a lot of the stuff we did, I haven't had time to edit it. I told my wife, and I did tweet this. I said, there's a lot of times, like, if anything were to happen to Brian, I could run those tapes, no problem, all good. With Goose, he said some stuff that in 1998-99 you couldn't say on the radio, you shouldn't say on the radio. And I said to my wife, I wonder how much of it's wildly inappropriate, like, that if I really thought about it, I wouldn't run it, but he died so I could let him get away with it, so I'm going to run it. So everybody out there, if you love the Goose, there's a good dozen hours. You'll hear it all weekend long. You can find it out at BaltimorePositive.com. And I can't believe it took me an hour to come up with that story about it. I'm just going to think of stuff because I'm finding pictures of me and him and Marino getting hammered in San Diego. And I'm thinking to myself, what else did I do with Goose? Did I fish with him or something and not realize he did a lot more hunting? But I'm thinking, where else did I bump into him and have fun with him? Because those stories come back and you're not ready for it. I'm not ready for it. And I know the Ravens were not ready. We have not talked enough about Jalen Ferguson. So I want to, Luke Jones is here. It was a dark, dark Wednesday and in Ravens history. And there aren't a whole lot of mornings where Chad Steele has to wake up and issue a press release about losing a football player. I mean, the overnight and what happened to him and how he was found, all this is still a crime scene, right? Or whatever it is. It's not a crime scene, I guess, but it's an investigative situation as to what happened to Jalen Ferguson.
Yeah. And I mean, we don't know. I mean, I know the banner and various reports, you know, they're not ruling out, and, you know, it feels like a case of an overdose, which is just heartbreaking, tragic, terrible. But, you know, as I'm hearing you talk about Tony Siragusa, and again, you had many more personal experiences with him, whereas most of my experience with him is thinking about him commandeering Brian Billick's sunglasses at the end of the Tennessee game. And
that's the first image I thought of.
Yeah.
I was looking for that picture.
Yeah.
And every time I put sunglasses and they showed him at the press conference, in the state, which I didn't attend because that happened in the middle of my national show. I did the Giants media day. I did not do the Ravens media day in 2001 in Tampa. I was not there when Shannon got involved with Ray, like that famous day. But those sunglasses and the bombers that he wore on the sideline of Oakland, your image of him is my public image of him.
Yeah. Well, that was a sideline in Tennessee because he was saying we're going to California.
That's right.
Right. So, but to shift this now to Jalen Ferguson, I think what's just so sad about this, I mean, we talked about the fact he has three young children. You know, his girlfriend, I think they were engaged to be married, but, you know, had three young children together. I mean, you go to her Instagram, he's posted some things at different points. I mean, someone who, you know, very much looked like he enjoyed being a father. But what I think what's so sad about this, all these memories we have of Tony Siragusa, we're not going to have these memories of Jalen Ferguson in the same way. And that's not to speak in terms of what he had been or hadn't been as a football player to this point. I mean, who knows what would have happened this year moving forward, but it's just very, very sad. And you know, because of the pandemic, we as media haven't had a chance to have too many experiences with him, but I can think of a couple. When he was drafted in 2019, of course, you know, same draft class as Marquise Brown, those two were invited out to Camden Yards to throw out the first pitch. And it was one of those games. I mean, this was the 2019 Orioles, you know, very early in the rebuild, not many people there. But I remember something that struck me about him, and I only chatted with him for a few moments. You know, he was quiet, you know, very polite, you know, he very much had a sense of being in awe. I believed, I don't know this with 100% certainty, but I want to say it was the first Major League Baseball game he had ever been to. He's from Louisiana, and, you know, I don't think he disliked baseball, but I don't think he had ever made it to a major league game. There was a certain amount of
that about Ben McDonald, right? I had lunch with Ben McDonald in 1995 in Toronto, and we're having lunch at Benihana, and he's asking me about my childhood growing up going to baseball games. Ben McDonald grew up in Louisiana. He said, I only went to one baseball game in my life. My dad took me to see Nolan Ryan pitch at the Astrodome once.
There you go.
And I'm thinking, dude, you were 1-1 overall. You've never been to a Major League Baseball game. But we take these things for granted. We really do.
Sure, sure. I mean, and so much of it's regional, where you grow up, you know, how much you have or how much you don't have, whatever. But he had this sense of, you know, he was in awe. And I mean that in a good way.
He had never played in an NFL game at that point either.
Right. I mean, this was I think it was it was probably during rookie camp. So he had been drafted the week before. And I just remember, you know, Marquise Brown was, you know, a little bit of the same thing, but he seemed a little more too cool for school. Like, hey, this is kind of cool, but hey, what's next on the agenda? Whereas Jalen Ferguson was kind of soaking it in, and it seemed like something that was really neat to him. And that's something that just resonated with me. I didn't think about that until, shortly before I hopped on to talk with you about everything that what happened on Wednesday. But I think of that, and I think of early in his rookie year. And I thought of this because he broke Terrell Suggs' NCAA FBS career sacks record, if you recall, at Louisiana Tech. But the Ravens played Arizona with Suggs, you know, coming back to Baltimore week two of the 2019 season. And I remember, and we were only able to watch practice from afar, and it was early in the regular season. You get to watch 20 minutes, and then they herd you back into the building. But I recall he was wearing Terrell Suggs, who wore 56 for the Cardinals, but he was wearing a 56 jersey for the Ravens in practice that day. He was running scout team. He wasn't playing a whole lot at the beginning of his rookie year. And I just remember going to his locker and asking him about that. And you know, he didn't have anything overly clever to say about it. Didn't have a great one-liner, but I wanted to ask him just in case, because I thought, hey, you know, he broke Terrell Suggs' record. He kind of was brought in as a pseudo Terrell Suggs replacement. At least the Ravens were hoping at that point in time, whether it's worked out or not. But he just kind of had a smile on his face. He's like, yeah, I hope I gave them a good look and all of that. But, you know, he's someone that you saw some of the quotes from guys like Tyus Bowser and Ronnie Stanley that the Ravens put out in the statement on Jalen Ferguson. But that guys who talked about the fact that, you know, he had some awareness that he hadn't lived up to, you know, what the Ravens were hoping he was going to be over his first 3 years. And, you know, Tyus Bowser talked about the fact, and Bowser was another example of that. Bowser, 3 years into his career, late was looking bloomer, right? Looking like a guy that was, you know, disappointing, a guy that was going to be an underwhelming, you know, bust would be too strong, but not work out. But, you know, Bowser talked about the fact that he and Ferguson had had conversations about it, and even talked about the fact that Jalen had been someone very encouraging to him. So, it's, you know, so much of this is about life, and football is so secondary, but you know, the mindset that he had. And I know Tony Jefferson and some other guys had talked about the fact that, you know, he was determined to make this a good season for him. And, you know, we talked about it. I wrote about it at BaltimorePositive.com at a couple points. He had a nice spring. You know, he was in good shape and appeared to be moving well. He tweaked his ankle on the next to last day of minicamp, but went back in there, got taped up and went back in there. So he was someone I was looking forward to watching this year. But, in the much more significant grand scheme of life, you know, for someone to be gone at age 26 and to have young children like that, I mean, it's just absolutely heartbreaking. And, you know, all these stories that we tell about Tony Siragusa, who is gone way too young at age 55, when you're talking about someone in their mid 20s and with his entire life ahead of him, I mean, it's heartbreaking. I mean, there's nothing you can say that's going to make that feel any better whatsoever. It's just incredibly heartbreaking. And that's where, you know, I mean, you just have this strongest prayers and thoughts and support you can send to his family members, his friends, all those people who loved him.
All right. Well, Luke Jones is here. I am there. We are, we'll be back in Owings Mills in a month, but obviously a very, very difficult time out at the castle here this week. Difficult time for all of us who knew these people or interacted with these people. I had, you know, multiple interactions with Jalen Ferguson, but they were all, hi, how are you? He was always polite. I haven't talked to a football player in 2.5 years, sort of famously. So I'm looking forward to getting back on the beat. We were out there last week running around. Felt good asking Lamar questions, chasing John around. We'll be doing that again in 6 weeks. And providing some memories of Tony Siragusa and times that he spent with me, times he spent with us, times he got in his car and drove across town to sit down and talk to us, times he put his family on the aside and sat down on a Zoom and did a half an hour with me, including our final Zoom chat. Every one of the conversations with Goose was pretty deep. I looked at them. I reached to him when David Modell died, and it was – that's probably the best conversation of all of them. If you want to go check that out, from 2017. There is a chat with Goose and I from Westminster in 2001 in the middle of Hard Knocks. I did like a 15-minute sit down with him. There's a picture of me holding a mic in front of him wearing a hat. It's from that. So there are Barn 1997, Barn 1999, and along the way stops at Super Bowls. And you can go listen to all that at BaltimorePositive.com. Find it in our audio vault in our repository, or just listen online, the live stream, or AM 1570 all weekend long. We're going to hear from the mayor. We're going to hear from the Baltimore Banner. I did spend a beautiful morning at Fadley's on Wednesday with a variety of different people. Bill Henry, my good friend Howard Scher, stopped by. Simone Phillips, who does Charm City Table. We had a delicious crab cake with Damie Hahn. All of that will be out at Baltimore Positive. It'll all be on the radio eventually. But at least for a day or two, we're going to have a lot of goose going on around here to honor him and to honor our friendship. And he was a friend of WNST and a friend of Baltimore Positive. He was a guy that tried to keep me in business, not put me out of business. And I'm indebted, and I'm sad. And I'm going to probably wait until next week to reach to Marvin and Brian and teammates and all of the 51 remaining members who are alive on that team. There's a picture of he and I. I'm on his lap at the barn early. I mean, 99. And Chuck Evans was with him. And I thought to myself, wow. You know, and then I saw pictures of Orlando Brown. Wow. You know, I start to look at these things and look at the time and look at 21 years and look at 25 years since Goose got here and 27 years since the franchise got here. And Purple Rain 1 is being released. Purple Rain 2 will be released in a couple of weeks. Purple Rain 1 has tons of Goose in it, tons of Goose pictures, videos. I've embedded it all. We're about 7 chapters deep in a 21 chapter book. So the next 2 weeks, there'll be lots and lots of memories. I know there's no football right now. People are watching baseball. Getting ready for the 4th of July, but we're going to be celebrating the life of Tony Siragusa around here. Luke, I appreciate you reaching early, hopefully the next time we get together, we're talking some Oriole baseball and then eventually some Ravens football. Feels like we lost the World Cup a year ago now. It's been a week. I am Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We're taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road next week. We'll be at State Fair on Thursday, at Costas the following week, and a big, big shout out to our friends at Goodwill and our partners at Window Nation. You buy two, you get two free all month long for stepping up and sponsoring us. We're back for more on WNST AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive and great memories.